can't see him. Where is he?
Wait.
But suppose he's got lost.
Wait.
Or drowned, or blown out to sea, or eaten by a whale.
There are no whales here.
One might have come.
Wait. Watch. Have patience. There.
Where? It's him! Has he got one?
Of course.
He's got one. He's so clever. Here he comes. Mrs. Chang?
Yes?
Why does he always come back? Why doesn't he just fly away?
Take the fish.
Yes. That's right. Good boy. Keep still. Yes. A clever bird. Oh, clever. Clever bird. Mrs. Chang.
Mr. Jefferson.
I wish I could just fly away.
The Malbon Point Mystery by Bert Cools. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Andrew Sachs as Dr. John Watson, and featuring James Laurenson as Mycroft Holmes. The Malbon Point Mystery, Part 1.
Watson, are you busy?
Are you about to suggest we do something?
Well, yes, I am.
Will it involve your playing the violin?
No.
Then I'm completely free.
Good. Get your hat, we're going out.
Oh. Is this to do with your latest case? The mystery of the bogus laundry van? Oh, you know, I'll have to find a better title.
I wouldn't bother. There's not a story in it. I've solved it. Here, I'm going to send this to the yard.
Arrest laundryman's apprentice. Necklace is in horse's feed bag.
Mm.
But you haven't left the house since Lestrade was here last night.
A measure of how utterly elementary the whole business was.
Is that why we're going out? Just to send a telegram?
Not only that. We've been summoned.
Summoned? By whom, for goodness sake?
Sherlock, my dear.
Mycroft.
We see far too little of you at the Diogenes Club, brother. You're looking well, Doctor.
Mr. Holmes?
Took you less time than I expected, Sherlock.
To come at your whistle.
Oh, no, please, it was an invitation, no more.
An invitation with the full force of Her Majesty's government behind
it. Now, don't pretend that made any difference. We both know why you're really here.
I've no idea what you're talking about.
But that can wait. Did you observe the new doorman?
Of course, the retired Sergeant Major.
Recovering gamely from the desertion of his wife.
And taking consolation from his three children.
The eldest of whom is currently overseas.
With the East India Company.
Which he joined against his father's wishes.
At least 2 years ago.
Three, dear boy, three.
Really? Ah, the type-in.
The type-in.
Of course, well done. Any questions, Watson?
Only the obvious one. Would either of you care to explain all that?
Perhaps later. Sit down, please.
Oh, thank you.
Good. Now, Sherlock, you've nothing in hand just at the moment.
Oh, on the contrary.
Oh, well, that paltry business with the laundry van.
Have you been spying on me?
No, it's perfectly obvious that the jewels are in the feed bag and the undermaid's in league with the apprentice. And since I see from your right shirt cuff that you stopped off at a telegraph office on the way here, you've already informed Scotland Yard. You, brother, are as free as air and already bored, and came here in the hope that I might be able to rectify that situation. Am I right? Doctor?
Well...
Exactly. And I can. Would you both care for a sherry?
Mycroft.
No, I thought you'd appreciate a spot of dramatic tension. No. Very well. What you need, Sherlock, is a few days at the seaside.
I beg your pardon.
I recommend the Kent coast.
Well, what do you think?
Ah, it's too soon to think anything. Not enough data.
You have to admit, though, it does sound intriguing. Well, come on.
Yes, it does rather, doesn't it? And it seems that Mycroft has his uses after all.
I believe you'll enjoy this, and I recommended it to the club myself.
It's excellent.
Sherlock?
The Kent coast.
Ah, yes. Yes, a place called Malbon Point. Do you know it?
No.
I can't say I'm surprised. It used to be a fishing community, but it declined. These days, it's just a collection of ramshackle huts on a shingled headland.
And why is this place of interest to the government?
Oh, my dear, it isn't, not in the least. No, this is entirely unofficial.
There is one thing we can be sure of.
And that is?
That my brother didn't tell us the whole story. Not by any means. Very well, it's unofficial. What exactly has happened at Malbon Point?
A suicide and a murder.
Surely that's a matter for the local police.
Well, this is well beyond their capabilities.
Scotland Yard, then?
They know nothing of it.
No doubt, because someone's prevented the local force from reporting it to London.
Prevented is rather harsh. Let's say persuaded. At least until you've had a chance to take a look.
And that same someone's also managed to keep the business out of the press. What's so special about this particular suicide and murder?
The fact that the same victim was involved in both.
Do you have your notes?
Yes. You want to go over the details?
Please.
Very well. Yes. The dead man was called Harold Jefferson, resident in Brockhill, the nearest village to the headland, 22 years old.
And somewhat feeble-minded, by all accounts, and therefore unemployed. He liked to spend his time at Malbon Point.
And how and when did he meet his death?
Yesterday. By jumping from the top of the old Malbon lighthouse. And late last night, or in the early hours of this morning, by being stabbed.
He survived the fall.
We don't know.
Mycroft, you're as infuriating a storyteller as Watson. Just give me the facts, clearly, concisely, and in chronological order.
I was about to. The old lighthouse...
Is there a new lighthouse?
Obviously, hence the name. May I continue?
Please do.
Thank you. The old lighthouse is 100 yards or so from the new one, and it's just offshore. At low tide, there is a safe passage to it across the rocks. That's the only means of access.
Except by boat, presumably.
No, Doctor, not even by boat. The rocks prevent it on the landward side, and a seaward approach is impossible because the currents are too treacherous. I trust I'm making myself clear.
Perfectly, thank you.
Good. The new lighthouse is already in operation, but there's to be a grand inauguration this coming Saturday. Now, yesterday, during a rehearsal for the ceremony, the boy appeared on the lamphouse balcony of the old building and flung himself off. His body wasn't recovered and was assumed to have been swept out to sea.
Only to turn up later.
In a derelict hut, with a single stab wound in his back and another in his chest.
Oh, terrible business for his family.
It's just the father. He witnessed the suicide leap.
Appalling.
Yes, but where's the mystery? The boy survived the fall and the water, somehow made it to land and then was killed. Either that or the body was washed up, brought ashore and then attacked after death.
Why, Sherlock? Why, in either case? Why do that to a harmless simpleton? If he was still alive, he must have been close to death's door anyway. And if he was dead...
Well, surely the nature of the injuries would give a good idea of what happened. Who examined him?
The local GP.
Oh, you should get a properly qualified man down there.
I rather think that's exactly what he's trying to do.
Two properly qualified men. Now, don't you find it fascinating, Sherlock?
No more than moderately.
He wasn't fooled for a second.
Actually, I wasn't lying. Not them. It was only after that that the tale became really outré.
You see, there are advantages to a slow build-up of suspense.
Nonsense. If he'd told me everything from the start, I'd have agreed straight away. He wasted a good 30 minutes of my time.
He was enjoying himself.
He's a civil servant. He's no business enjoying himself.
The boy's father is a local dignitary, in charge of civic ceremonies, that sort of thing.
Including the lighthouse inauguration.
Well, he's organised the whole thing. He lives in Brock Hill, just over a mile and a half from Malvern Point. Last night, after the boy jumped, there was a break-in at the house.
Indeed. What was taken?
Nothing. But something was left. An envelope containing exactly £200 sterling.
There are three possibilities. It was an apology, a bribe, or totally unconnected with the boy's death.
An apology?
By the murderer.
What sort of murderer apologizes for his deed?
I could quote you at least seven instances.
All right. It could have been an apology. If it was a bribe, perhaps there'll be some sort of follow-up, a note saying what the father's expected to do. Unless he already knows and is keeping it to himself.
He wants to be secretive about it. Why reveal that the money appeared at all? Well, you know, it's fascinating. But it isn't the real story. What is it that Mycroft didn't tell us?
Why are you so sure he's concealing something?
Because he's Mycroft.
But couldn't he simply be worried about his friend?
Come.
Big pardon, Mr. Holmes.
Yes? Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Goodall. Show Sir Charles in there. There's a fine chap.
Mr. Holmes. Sir Charles Steele, gentlemen.
Charles.
No, please don't get up.
May I present my brother?
An honour, Mr. Holmes.
Sir Charles.
And his associate, Dr. Watson.
Good afternoon.
Doctor, I can't tell you the pleasure I've had from your writings.
Thank you.
Holmes, a child has done this terrible thing. Wonderful. Mm. When I'm in number 10, it'll be a knighthood for you. You mark my words.
Thank you.
Oh, at the very least. Now, no doubt Mr. Holmes here has told you all about our local mystery.
Local?
I'm the member for that district. And my country place is only a few miles away. Malvern Point is my land.
Which is why Sir Charles is to be guest of honour at the ceremony.
And you're concerned that there could be a murderer in the community. You're worried about your own safety.
Not a bit of it, Doctor. It's Mycroft who's doing the worrying.
Sir Charles Steele.
Had you heard of him before today?
Holmes. All England's heard of him. Well, with one obvious exception.
I have quite enough to do keeping track of the criminal fraternity. Politicians are of no interest to me. So he's famous.
Well, some would say notorious. The youngest man ever to be tipped for the cabinet, and possibly even the premiership itself.
Hmm. And that confers notoriety.
Not just that. He's halfway to being an eccentric.
Then he should try harder.
Not if he wants to rise in the government, he shouldn't. But the public love him.
What form does his eccentricity take?
Couldn't you deduce that for yourself?
Well, nothing beyond the obvious. He's flamboyant, self-centred, outspoken, and has some sort of connection to the theatre.
He owns a chain of music halls and two opera houses. And he supports some rather outlandish causes.
Interesting.
Was that all you got?
No, there was one more thing.
What was that?
However much he denied it, the man is scared.
Mr. Holmes, this business has unsettled everyone down there. I want to see it cleared up. I want an explanation. Even if it's just that it was a purely random, senseless attack.
The location doesn't suggest that.
Then a dangerous criminal, perhaps even a homicidal maniac, is still at large. You must act, Sherlock. You must exert yourself.
Very well. I'll look into it.
Excellent.
Yes, thank you.
You do understand that I can't guarantee success. I might not be able to find out what happened.
Oh, yes, Mr. Holmes. I understand that perfectly well.
Thank you. Mr. Holmes, Dr. Watson.
Good evening. And you are?
Constable Powell, sir. I represent the law here.
All by yourself?
I can call on the stations from three other villages. Or from Ashford Town, if I need to.
And have you done so in this case?
No, sir, because I've been ordered not to.
Ah.
And if you'll pardon my saying so, I don't like the way this whole affair's being handled. Directive straight from Whitehall. There's a proper procedure laid down, and this isn't it.
I sympathise, Constable. Whitehall does have the habit of sitting on high, issuing commands and expecting everyone to jump.
Well, as long as it's understood that I'm not happy.
It's perfectly understood. Oh, yeah. We shall need your cooperation.
You'll get it, sir. I know my duty. Now, this way, if you please. I've a carriage waiting.
Thank you.
There are rooms reserved for you at the White Lion in Brockhill, and dinner's booked for 8.
Very efficient. When was all this done?
Well, this morning, sir.
Before you agreed to take the case.
Exactly. Nice to be taken for granted.
We'll be there shortly.
No.
Mr. Holmes?
It'll still be light for a while. Take us to Malvern Point.
What an incredible place.
Yes, sir. That's how it takes everybody.
And we're barely 2 hours out of London.
This will exercise your pen, Watson, if it ever comes to it.
The vast expanse of shingle, flat as a billiard table, extends in every direction as far as the eye can see, broken only by the jagged, ruined shapes of the isolated fishermen's huts and shelters. If a giant's hand had swept clear a corner of the globe and randomly planted bizarre sculptures upon the plain, it could hardly be more mysterious and more awe-inspiring.
Oh, that's very good. Very good. You should write it down.
I shan't forget it.
Some of those huts look habitable. Does anybody still live here?
Well, we get the occasional artist, sir. Something about the light, apparently. Or the air or something. And once we had a poet. Strange chap. They don't stay too long. The isolation gets to them.
So the whole area is deserted?
Well, if you don't count old Mrs. Chang.
Chang? Is she Chinese?
Chinese, Japanese, I couldn't tell you. Nor how old she is. She looks about 100.
And she lives here?
I suppose you'd call her a recluse. Her shack's right down by the water.
How does she support herself?
As far as I know, she lives off the sea. She's got a freshwater well, so it's fish and water 3 times a day, I suppose. Wouldn't do for me. It was Mrs. Chang found the body.
Was it indeed?
You'll be wanting to talk to her?
Yes, yes, but not just yet. First, I want to see the lighthouses.
Ah, the preparations for the grand ceremony.
Just offshore, across the rocks, the scene of the suicide. A temporary stage at the foot of the new lighthouse. There was a band here.
Yes, sir. Mr. Jefferson insisted on a full-scale rehearsal. He's a very punctilious man.
Evidently. What time was this rehearsal?
Same as the actual ceremony's going to be. 9 in the morning.
Oh, isn't that rather early?
It's to suit Sir Charles, apparently.
The band was gathered over there, various carpenters working there, and the boy's father. Let's see. Well,
he was up on the stage, sir.
Oh, did he tell you exactly where?
We didn't need to. I was here too.
Oh, what excellent. Show me precisely where he was standing.
Follow me. Mr. Jefferson was standing right here.
Yeah?
His assistant, Mr. Lade, was next to him.
And you, Constable?
Well, I was up here too, sir. Some of the carpenters are a rough lot. I wanted to keep an eye on them.
So you also had a clear line of sight to the old lighthouse?
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Is it still manned?
No, it's not used anymore. The new one here has been up and running for a week.
Mm-hmm. Is there a keeper?
No, it's fully automatic. Quite the modern marvel, apparently.
Yes, thank you. Is the old lighthouse open?
It's not been locked since it was decommissioned.
Indeed. Watson, you stay here.
Very well.
And I'll see you very soon.
Mm-hmm. Cigarette?
Not while I'm on duty, thank you, Doctor.
Oh, of course, sorry.
How did Mr. Holmes know about the band?
Well, You can see where the shingle was disturbed at the side of the stage. A couple of dozen people stood there in a block. There wouldn't have been an audience at a rehearsal, and they wouldn't have been gathered just there anyway, so it must have been a band.
Good Lord.
Did you know the dead man?
Well, most people knew Harry Jefferson, Doctor. By sight, at least.
And did they like him?
Well, somehow that's not the right word. To be honest, I don't think most people thought about him at all.
Mm. Did you like him?
Me, he was harmless enough.
So you can't think of anyone who would have wanted to hurt him?
No one, Doctor. No one at all.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Now, tell me exactly what happened here. Every detail you can remember.
You two! Watch what you're doing! Stevens! For heaven's sake, organize that work, run! Plumber! That barrier's too far forward!
Gentlemen! Gentlemen!
Good God, Mr. Lade. I should just do it all myself.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Is that what they're going to play as he comes on?
I don't know, Mr. Jefferson.
Well, find out. No, never mind. It'll have to do. I don't need anything else to worry about.
No, sir. Actually, it's quite appropriate, isn't it? Rather jolly, not too pompous.
You don't think he'll be offended? All right. Very good. You can stay. Now, where were we? Sir Charles and his party come up onto the platform. They take their seats. Mr. Lade, are you listening?
Hmm? Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but... Well, look.
Hmm? It was the boy. He was out on the lamphouse balcony.
How was he behaving?
He seemed perfectly calm.
Did he look towards here?
He did, yes.
Do you think he saw his father?
I don't see how he could have missed him. It's no great distance. Anyway, then he moved round so he was facing out to sea. And then... Well...
Yay!
He fell almost straight down. Hit the edge of the rocks, but the force of his fall kept him moving down into the water. The current's there.
Oh, yes, I've been told.
Yeah, there was no chance.
Could he have fallen accidentally?
I don't think so. Some of the wood on the balcony's rotten, but not around that side. It was fixed not long back. I went up there to make sure. And that cry. It wasn't terror or surprise, I'd swear to it.
Right. Thank you. How did his father react? Powell?
Look, sir, Mr. Jefferson's an important man.
Oh, this is entirely in confidence, Constable.
Yes, sir. Well... It didn't seem to me to be a very honourable reaction.
Mr. Jefferson, are you all right?
Mr. Jefferson?
Constable, get a doctor.
Yes, no.
Mr. Jefferson?
Mr. Lade, I'm perfectly all right. Thank you.
But surely...
Oh, where were we?
Sir?
The rehearsal, Mr. Lade. Where were we?
Grief and shock. They can take people in some very strange ways.
Grief and shock, if you say so, sir.
What do you mean?
Oh, there's Mr. Holmes. Hope he watches himself on that balcony.
Come in.
Well, Mycroft's done us reasonably well. How's your room? Not bad. Well, they're not entirely succeeded in hiding the patch in the carpet, but it shows willing.
Oh, don't be infuriating. What did you discover in that lighthouse? I know you didn't want to talk while Powell was with us.
Yeah, now, just a moment. Now, I found these.
What are they? Well, it looks like, what do you call it, wickerwork.
That's because it is. There's quite a bit of it scattered around on the deck of the balcony.
From a basket?
No, that ledge was only ever used for cleaning the outside of the lamp, and that was done with a metal bucket and a brush.
Then what's this stuff doing out there?
I don't know. Huh. It's a pretty little puzzle.
Ah. Why didn't you go and look at the hut where the body was found?
The light wasn't good enough by then. Not a few hours would make any difference.
So that's our task for tomorrow morning?
One of them. What did you make of the local representative of the law? He wasn't exactly overjoyed to see us, was he?
Well, he does have a point. We're undermining his authority.
Perhaps.
I can tell you one thing. He didn't like the dead boy.
Really? Fascinating. Do you know why?
No, but there was definitely something there.
Well done.
And something else. He painted the father in a bad light. Didn't turn a hair when the boy jumped, apparently.
It's not a crime to hide one's emotions.
Just as well. But what emotion was he hiding?
We'll find out in the morning.
Gentlemen, I can give you 10 minutes.
Then I shall be brief. When you saw your son at the top of the old lighthouse, what was your immediate reaction?
I thought he was just messing around. I was angry.
Because you knew it was unsafe?
Because I could ill afford the distraction.
From your duty supervising the preparation?
Exactly.
When he jumped?
What do you imagine? I was horrified.
Had he been unhappy? Depressed?
Not to my knowledge.
Your son was 22?
Yes.
In body?
Yes.
But not in mind?
Since you obviously know, why are you wasting my time by asking me? The boy was never right, never quite right. Not from birth. We saw a doctor. He told us there was nothing to be done.
Was there any physical handicap?
Certain clumsiness, nothing else.
Do you know of any reason why he should want to kill himself?
None.
He didn't leave a note?
I found nothing. I've searched everywhere.
It's a waste of time. Suicide notes are invariably left prominently displayed. Did your son have friends? People in his confidence?
I assume so.
But you don't know who they are?
I am a busy man.
Who looked after your son since your wife died?
How do you know about that?
There are 7 separate indications, none of them the slightest interest. Please answer the question.
Originally, I engaged a governess, then a male tutor, but the man didn't stay. The job was unfulfilling.
So, in short, your son was abandoned to his own devices. Wait.
You go too far, sir. I'm well aware of my duty towards my son. I sheltered him from a hostile world. I gave the boy a home when I could have put him in an institution. I put clothes on his back, a roof over his head, and food in his stomach. And this is the thanks I get.
Tell me about the money.
It was left on the hallway table.
Just loose notes?
In an envelope.
You still have the envelope?
I had a telegram from Whitehall asking me to retain it. God alone knows why. Here.
Thank you. Good quality stationery, somewhat crumpled, no marks, no inscription, no discernible aroma. Thank you. Where are the notes?
In my safe. Do you wish to see them?
It's not necessary. Where did your mystery visitor enter the house? The lock on the front door hasn't been damaged.
He came in through a window at the back.
Did the noise wake you or the servants?
No.
Was the glass broken or cut?
Neither. The clasp was faulty. That window doesn't lock properly.
Then how do you know that it was the means of entry?
It was discovered wide open. It had been closed the night before.
The money was left, but nothing was taken.
Correct.
What a considerate housebreaker.
Mr. Jefferson, what do you think happened to your son after he jumped from the lighthouse? Whether he was alive or dead, why should anyone want to attack him with a knife?
I've no idea.
How long have you had the canary?
What? I don't know. Several years, that one. We've always had them. My wife loved them.
And you?
I enjoy their song. Yes.
And why do you feel the need to padlock the cage?
Yes.
Beg pardon, sir. Gentlemen.
Yes, Elizabeth.
Mr. Lade is here, sir, in the carriage.
Mr. Lade?
Yeah, he's from Sir Charles's personal staff. Specially seconded to me. Please say I'll be there directly.
Sir.
Elizabeth will bring you your hats.
She can also show me the broken window.
If you insist.
I do. Thank you for your time.
Gentlemen.
What sort of man finds his son an inconvenience? No, it was worse than that, wasn't it? An embarrassment.
A sort who values appearances and position above everything else and who apes the behaviour of his betters.
Yes, all that rigidly controlled emotion.
Yes, as you said last night, just what emotion is he concealing? Sorrow, relief, anger, guilt. How long has this lock been broken?
Oh, ages, sir.
Ah, interesting.
Can you read anything from the ground?
Very little, but enough.
Will that be all, gentlemen?
Not quite. At your department, Doctor.
Elizabeth, tell me about Mr. Jefferson's son.
What do you want to know, sir?
Well, I know he liked to spend a lot of time out at Malbon Point.
Yes, sir. He did.
But did you have much contact with him when he was at home?
Oh, yes, sir. Looking after Master Harry, that was a big part of my duties.
You liked him?
He was a lovely boy, sir. Hmm. So kind and gentle.
Do you have any idea why he did what he did?
Oh, yes, sir.
You do?
Of course.
Well, would you care to tell us?
It was because of the maze.
The maze? Well, where is this maze?
Oh, no, sir. That's not what I mean. The maze, you know.
I'm afraid I don't.
I do.
Indeed?
It's an old country term. You hardly hear it these days. A maze is like a madness, an enchantment.
That's right, sir.
It's where we get amazed and amazement.
Watson, you're invaluable. What form does it take, then, this madness? Is it hereditary?
No, you catch it. In most versions of the story, it's just in the air. Or in the fabric of a place. And if you're sensitive enough, you pick it up.
Master Harry got it out at Malbon Point.
Well, how do you know this?
Because he wasn't the first. There was a boy, Billy Huggins. He got it, the maze, and he did the selfsame thing as Master Harold, sir.
He threw himself off the lighthouse.
And he wasn't the first. There's been others down the years. You ask anyone.
The maze.
He definitely had it, sir, Master Harold. It made him do all sorts of strange things.
Such as?
Well, like trying to set the canary free, sir. Time and again, that's why the cage is locked. And the last day, the day he went out, well, if he didn't have the maze, why else did he wear two coats?
Amazing that these old country superstitions still persist.
A place so imbued with an evil influence that it can be picked up like a common cold, if you're perceptive enough.
You almost sound as if you believe it.
When I was a boy...
What did you say?
Something wrong with your hearing, Doctor.
No, of course not. It's just that in all the years I've known you, I don't think I've ever once heard you say those words.
You haven't.
Well, then why now?
Because now they're relevant. When I was a boy, there was an old house on the edge of our estate. Derelict, virtually. Naturally, I went there to explore, to observe.
Naturally.
But I could never stay there long. I don't think I was a cowardly child, Watson, but there was something about that old house. I told Mycroft about it.
And he teased you?
On the contrary, he explained the whole thing.
With some logical, rational explanation?
Well, you decide. He looked at me and said, "It's very simple, Sherlock. The house doesn't like you, and it doesn't want you there."
And you accepted that?
I was very young.
And now? What do you think now?
I think we've just been given an extremely valuable clue. Now, I have a task for you.
What is it?
Go and see Constable Powell. Have a friendly chat. See if you can't find out why he didn't like the Jefferson boy.
Very well. What will you be doing?
I'm going to walk back out to the point.
Ah, you're going to look at the hut where the body was found.
Not only that. I want to see if I can't absorb some more of the atmosphere of the place.
Holmes, you're not taking this ridiculous maze business seriously, are you?
Yeah. Come and find me later. What have you to tell? tell me.
Lovely morning.
Dark, sir. Hello. Yeah, it's glorious, isn't it? Mr. Ohm's not with you.
No, he's following up a line of his own. Ah, off duty, are you?
No, just snatching the odd moment. Never off duty, really. Can't be, since I'm all there is.
Oh, quite a responsibility for you.
Oh, this is a quiet village. Besides, it's only until they appoint a new sergeant.
What happened to the old one?
He took sick and died.
Oh.
Right out of the blue, between you and me, sir, he went a bit strange in the head. He's a good copper in his day.
Any chance of you getting the job?
Not a hope. Not enough experience.
Maybe this murder will make a difference.
Well, if I solved it myself, maybe. But there's no chance of that, is there? Not now.
Constable, Mr. Holmes likes to keep his name out of things. If he sorts it out, he'll see that you get the credit.
Really? Well, I'd appreciate that. Look, sir, I'm sorry if I've been a touch distant.
No apology necessary.
Good of you. You fancy a cup of tea?
Fascinating. Good day to you. Will you come in, or shall I come out?
It is much more pleasant out here, I think. Would you care for some tea? The boy used to come here to see me. Every day.
You knew him well?
Who can truly know another? I knew that he was deeply unhappy.
Do you know why?
He wanted to leave this place. An understandable ambition in a young man, do you not think?
But his condition?
His head was younger than his body, you are quite correct. But he was not a child, even if he was treated like one.
And why did he stay here?
He spoke sometimes of his father.
In what terms?
Those of a good son, aware of his duty.
To be grateful for home and heart.
Yes. Even though walls intended to protect can also imprison.
I've been told that he suffered from an enchantment, absorbed from the spirit of this land.
Do you believe it?
This is an extraordinary place.
Yes. You have not asked me why I choose to live here.
No.
Because you already know the answer.
Do I?
With solitude can come wisdom. I believe that you also seek enlightenment and have considered this path.
Had you noticed any change in the boy's behavior recently?
Perhaps his spirit was a little lighter.
When did that start?
Not long ago. A few days? A week?
Did he ever say anything about killing himself?
Not to me.
Did you hear anything that night?
Nothing. I am a profound sleeper.
Then it was the next morning when you discovered the body?
Oh, it was not I who found him.
But I was given to understand. Then who did? A cormorant.
His name is Peng Yo.
Friend.
You speak my language.
I've lived in the East.
Then much is explained.
You've trained him to retrieve fish.
How do you know this?
It's merely a question of using one's eyes. How exactly did the bird discover Harold Jefferson's body?
As soon as I released him, he flew straight to the ruined hut and would not leave it.
Remarkable.
He is a remarkable creature.
Mrs. Chang, can you tell me anything at all about what happened to the boy?
Mr. Holmes, I deeply regret that I cannot.
Whoa there, girl. There we are, Doctor.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the lift.
Well, sorry I couldn't take you any further.
Don't worry about it.
There's talk of extending the road out to the new lighthouse. God knows when it'll happen. All those distinguished guests are just going to have to walk the last bit and lump it.
Will they be expecting a red carpet?
Well, if they are, they're in for a disappointment. Now, you're sure you don't want me to wait?
No, no. Once I've found Holmes, we'll walk back. You get on.
Well, if you're sure. Up there, girl.
There you are. Hello. Be careful.
Watch.
What are you doing?
Just watch. Observe closely.
All right. You're retracing the boy's steps. Round to the back of the balcony. Out of sight. Leaning out. Yes, just back in view. Holmes, I can see you. Oh, my God. Get down. It's not safe! Get down! No!
Yeah! In part one of the Malvern Point mystery, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. John Watson by Andrew Sachs. Mycroft Holmes was played by James Lawrenson, Constable Powell by Piers Wayner, Sir Charles Steele by Nigel Hastings, Mrs. Chang by Pixen Lim, Harold Jefferson by Joseph Cohen Cole, Mr. Jefferson by Bruce Alexander, Mr. Lade by Richard Delane, and Elizabeth by Tessa Nicholson. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinists were Leonard Friedman and Ian Humphreys. The Malvern Point Mystery was written by Bert Cools from a reference in the short story The Veiled Lodger by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. The director was Patrick Rayner.